Okay, are we good to go?
We are indeed.
Okay, Harry, the Australian government has announced $20,000 in regional funding for regional Victoria LGBTIQ local drug action teams. What will these funds be used for?
So we're going to be doing a range of activities, Dan. Most of all, the whole program's aim really is to reduce the harms associated around alcohol and drugs within the LGBTI community. So there'll be a really amazing focus on partnerships. So we will be partnering with LGBTI community members. We'll be partnering with local organizations to really design campaigns and resources and information that really reduce the harm associated with alcohol and other drug use.
Right. And with the local drug action teams, I guess specifically with regional communities, what kind of work do they do?
Well, look, we have just recently developed the action team, and it's made up of Backcountry, which is a program of the Victorian AIDS Council. It's made up of Bendigo Community Health Services, YFAS, and Headspace Bendigo. So really what we're coming together is to utilise all of our skills and knowledge around LGBTI issues, around alcohol and other drug issues, and develop in partnership with the community campaigns and resources. A big part of this work will look at capacity building and community leadership, because we really want to build up community leaders from the LGBTI community that can really advocate around alcohol and drugs, around other well-being issues as well. So it's really about increasing that connectedness between organizations and the community, and really letting the community know as well that there are services that support them, and there are services that are doing this specific work for them as well.
Harry, you're based in Bendigo in Victoria. What are some of the what are the recent studies showing about drug use in regional Victoria, and what's your experience been with it? What's being used more than others?
Look, I feel that a lot of the times, sometimes drug use can be, a lot of the drug use that happens in regional communities can be exaggerated by the media. We do see issues with people who use alcohol and other drugs as coping mechanisms. That could be because they've faced homophobia, transphobia, biphobia, any of these issues. And people generally, they use alcohol and other drugs to, get through those difficult issues.
Is isolation, does that play a part as well?
Look, definitely. I think the LGBTI community and regional communities definitely isn't as maybe connected, and there's maybe not as many social spaces or other places where people can feel connected to community and feel connected to queer culture as a whole. We're very lucky in Bendigo. We have, a monthly gay night that happens here, and there's a range of other peer and social support groups, some of which Victorian AIDS Council run, some of which Headspace Bendigo run. There's a uni group. There's lots of different groups. But as you sort of, go further out into the smaller regional towns, there's obviously a lot less support. So I feel in Bendigo there is quite a lot of different activities and projects that people can get involved in. But as you say, isolation as you go further out into regional areas is definitely a problem.
Right, and with this additional funding, I mean, how big of a difference is $20,000 going to make?
Oh, look, it's going to make an absolutely massive difference. Being able to have the funds to actually co-design resources, that are led by the community, that are going to actually really have an impact on reducing the harms and reducing problematic use around drugs. So I think having access to that money and being able to use that money with the community and the design resources is going to make a tremendous amount of difference.
Harry, in terms of the local drug action teams, at the moment there's 80 teams nationwide. With additional funding, what's the next step?
Oh, look, I think the next step will be listening to the community through this process. There's a lot of active community engagement, and we really hope that from this project over the next 12 months that we really activate community leaders and really and, you know, have people in our communities that actually can talk to the policymakers, who can talk to our community organizations and actually tell them what the issues are as they emerge in the community. So I think this grant is just sort of the starting point. And as we continue on with the project and we have the community leaders and we have resources and we have things that are happening by the community, for the community, I think, you know, the only way is up, really.
And I suppose with the amount of teams that you have right now, you've got hubs like Bendigo and Ballarat, some of those places where you've got a lot of members of the LGBT community sort of congregating, but with those more isolated places a bit further out, is the goal to expand and have more teams? Is that something that might help?
Well, it's often very difficult to reach out into these communities, which is why a big part of our campaign is about digital implementation. So we often find we have a project with a group of peer educators who do outreach on Grindr, and we find that actually that's online presence is the best way that we can engage LGBTI community members. So I think that's going to be a key focus for the group that's going to be ongoing, is really the online and digital format of the project, so that it has the greatest reach across Victoria.
And Harry, in the immediate future, what would you like to see change or improve?
In terms of alcohol and drug issues, or just wider issues?
In terms of alcohol and drug issues in the LGBT community in regional areas, what are some of the most immediate things that need to be addressed?
I think access to services is the most important one, and access to services that are appropriate for the LGBTI community. So as part of this funding round, we will also be doing some capacity building work with the local workforce and skilling them up so that, you know, they have the knowledge and they understand the issues that affect the LGBTI community, and they can deal with those issues in a non-judgmental and sensitive manner. You know, and often, more than not, there is this perceived, you know, some LGBTI people do have a perception that services may not be LGBTI friendly, and that sometimes is just about visibility, and it might actually be, you know, putting a rainbow flag up or putting some posters up or doing some training with the staff or adjusting some of the way you ask things around partners or things like that. So, look, often these services just need a little bit of a help in the right direction, and they're usually fantastic.
Harry McNulty, thanks for joining us on The Informer.
That's amazing. Thank you.